So many people are very concerned about what would happen if we repeal the Affordable Care Act without a stronger replacement. There's people that came and said they'd lose their health care. There's people worried about our immigrant population, and even people who've been here for decades and how they're treated in the Trump administration. So a lot of concerns for the president's integrity, a desire for full investigations of ties to Russia for him and his administration. So these are all things that the American people deserve answers on.
And what answers can you give your constituents when they say, am I going to lose health care, considering the position that the Democrats are in the House and the Senate?
Well, I offer to share their stories. We've had so many powerful narratives and stories from people who live in Colorado about what they stand to lose. And I print out their picture, and I take it down to the floor of the House, and I make sure that those who are trying to remove those protections see the faces of those who are affected.
In addition to health care, I know that a major concern of many in our community is what's happening with immigration. I spoke with you last the morning of the State of the Union address, and you had as your guest in Washington, D.C., a dreamer, somebody from Longmont, somebody who's one of the DACA program, a deferred action program. What can you say to them who are concerned about deportations, who are concerned about their future?
Well, thankfully, DACA still continues, and we need to continue the pressure on the Trump administration to not make these young people illegal again, allow them to work legally. If President Trump were to eliminate DACA, it would create 750,000 more illegal immigrants in our country day one, the opposite of what he campaigned on, and we hope to hold him accountable to that.
You mentioned people at the town hall meetings that you're having this weekend, concerned about losing health care, concerned about immigration, concerned about the Trump administration's ties to Russia. But what should people also be paying attention to? Because there's so much coverage on those particular issues. And some commentators are saying that in many ways it's distracting people from things that are actually happening, like the defunding of the National Endowment for the Arts, federal institutions that deal with climate change, like NOAA, also under threat of losing significant amounts of funding. What are some of the things that are actually happening right now that people really need to be aware of?
Yes, all those things came up, including cuts to our federal research labs like NOAA, including the efforts to privatize education through vouchers and House Bill 610, the environmental protections that are being removed, the opening up for drilling in new areas, the allowing for the mass killing of wolves and bears in the wildlife refuge in Alaska. So these are all items that came up in the town hall, and people share my concerns with the direction the country's going on all these issues.
And so, as I said earlier, and we've talked about this, the Democrats are in the minority position in the House and the Senate. So what can be done legislatively when we're looking at all of these decisions and all of these actions being made?
Well, we need to continue to move the hearts and minds of the American people, and we need to continue to write and call our elected officials and try to stop the Republicans from implementing the negative parts of their agenda.
You mentioned their education and the voucher system being a concern. You didn't get a chance yourself to weigh in on Betsy DeVos's confirmation, but you have said in an interview with Chalkbeat Colorado that you're actually not as concerned, maybe, because there is a new federal education law, Every Student Succeeds, that act that actually limits the authority of the secretary. What exactly does that, and what can you let people know about that?
This Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, has less power and ability to influence things than the prior Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, because we limited the ability of the secretary to affect policy in our public schools through the Every Student Succeeds Act. So I'm very worried about Congress passing laws that voucherize or privatize education, divert Title I money away from schools that serve our most at-risk kids towards other areas.
You yourself, though, have been somebody who is supportive of school choice, and your involvement with charter schools here in Colorado has been well covered. How does that align with Secretary DeVos's position on charter schools, which she's been much criticized for?
Well, I've been supportive of all public schools, neighborhood schools, magnet schools, charter schools, innovation schools. They're all part of a high-performing public education system that serves families, and they all need to work together. Where I think I differ strongly with Secretary DeVos is we want to make sure that we have quality choices for families, not just choice for the sake of choice.
In terms of what's actually happening in the Democratic Party, so much attention being paid, obviously, to the Republican Party and the Trump administration, there are a lot of progressives who are, and not even just progressives, but regular Democrats or people who have supported the Democratic Party. They're concerned about how the party either is or isn't responding to what's happening right now. And there's a concern, I think, that somehow the type of politics that we're seeing now could be normalized. And particularly if we look at how 11 Senate Democrats cast their votes in favour of Ben Carson's appointment to the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And one of those Democrats was Elizabeth Warren, who has been a progressive voice. And so are we seeing a normalising of this? I mean, are we seeing the Democrats taking a strong enough stand against the Trump administration and their policies?
Well, I think it's always important for Democrats and elected officials to talk about our policy agenda and what we would do to make life better for American families. So in terms of opposing the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, I was happy to offer three amendments last week, which I think would reduce the cost of health care. I offered an amendment for a public option for people to choose in the exchange. I offered an amendment to reduce the price of drugs by allowing for reimportation. And I offered an amendment for pricing transparency among providers to help the market mechanism actually work to reduce costs. So these are the kinds of ideas that I'm happy to put on the table. And I think that Democrats have been happy to engage in showing what kind of country we think would be a better one to live in for American families.
But do you think the Democrats are taking a strong enough stand as an opposition party to this with the view that there could be a normalizing or normalization of the current situation?
I think opposing is not enough. We also need to offer our alternatives and win over the support of the American people behind our ideas to move the country forward so we can win elections.
Do you think that there's enough self-reflection happening, particularly at the party leadership level, around the movement or where the future of the Democratic Party lies, given what's happened in the recent election? And I'm asking this in the light of the new DNC appointment of Tom Perez as the head of the DNC, where a lot of people were hoping Keith Ellison would be the new chair because he is coming from a much more diverse and progressive place in many ways. I mean, is there, what kind of self-examination is happening at the Democratic leadership level?
Well, Colorado Democrats met over the weekend and united overwhelmingly over 90% to support Morgan Carroll, who's our new Democratic Party chair in the state of Colorado. I think she's going to be a fierce, progressive voice for the Democratic Party and in holding the Trump administration accountable.
And what about, though, at national leadership level?
I think that Democrats and Americans are thrilled that Keith Ellison and Tom Perez as a team are going to help lead the party forward and voice a progressive vision about how we can make life better for American families.
And is there a strategy in place right now, or is strategizing happening looking ahead to the midterm elections and how the Democrats could potentially take back some seats?
I think it's so important to maintain the involvement and engagement with the Indivisible movement, the resistance movement, the Women's March. And I've been so proud to march on the streets and meet with the Indivisible movement and participate in rallies. We need to make sure we can channel that in tremendous amount of enthusiasm and goodwill into winning elections and moving the country forward.
In terms of the people on the streets, there has been so much ignoring really mainstream by... There has been so little attention paid to the water protectors in Standing Rock, and this past weekend in Washington, D.C. and in cities around the country, including right here in Denver, people out on the streets again calling for the stopping of the pipelines. I mean, what has been your position on Standing Rock and the water protectors and all of the pipelines that are under construction and being proposed right now?
Well, I think the more resources we sink into the fossil fuel economy, the more we tie ourselves to dirty carbon-emitting fuel sources. So we need to invest in renewable energy, not the Excel pipeline, not the Dakota pipeline, and move forward with renewable energy agenda.
So would you be supportive of legislation that would block pipelines?
Well, I voted against the XL pipeline being built a number of times, several times that it's come to the floor. It's very rare that we would vote on a particular pipeline, but because of that international aspect of that, there were efforts to force President Obama to approve it, which I was proud to reject and vote no on.
In terms of some of the other things that have happened under Trump administration, he has said we're not moving forward with the TPP, and that was actually a big part of his campaign. And that's where we're seeing some kind of interesting crossover here. You yourself had been a supporter of the TPP, and you spoke on KGNU about some of your reasons for that, and that had been met with massive opposition locally and nationally. What do you think a trade agreement will look like now as we go forward under a Trump administration?
Well, to correct you, I did not come out in support of the TPP. As you know, I simply refused to say I opposed it without reading it. And for some reason, people read more than they wanted to into that. I told President Obama I would look it over and consider their arguments before rendering a decision. It was then removed from consideration. So I had several public study sessions with voters in my district where we had experts as we learned about the TPP. Frankly, I did applaud President Obama's effort to move forward with a 21st century trade policy that protects our environment and protects labor standards. And one of my biggest concerns about Trump is withdrawal from all, whether it's the UN, the WTO, all of our international institutions, which allow us to coexist and allow humanity to live in a sustainable way. So when we pull out of the Paris Accords, of the WTO, when we pull out of the UN, these are all steps in the wrong direction. So I hope we can get some sort of partnership with not only our Pacific allies, but allies across the country back on the table to raise the bar on environmental protections and labor protections across the world.
But just to finish up, what are the major issues that you think your constituents and listeners should really be paying attention to right now?
Well, really everything under the sun, and that's what's so frustrating, whether it's efforts to privatize education, sell off our public lands, plunge the country deeper in debt to fund our military and increase our nuclear arsenal so we can blow up the world 8 times rather than 5 times, efforts to privatize Medicare, efforts to replace the Affordable Care Act with something that denies tens of millions of American coverage. All of these things and more are happening right under our eyes. We're fighting the resistance in Washington. We need the help of your listeners and others to hold the feet of the president, Trump, to the fire and make sure that they're accountable, not only for the integrity of their own administration, but for their outrageous policies that damage the planet and damage our economy and plunge us deeper into debt.